Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and it's my stage name. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking at all of you guys here today, and I want to say to you, Derek is right. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some reason,
welcome, everyone. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you that success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. If this is your first time tuning in to the broadcast, welcome. And you that are regular being on the show with us, welcome again. And before we get started, I want to say one thing that I say to everyone when they tune in. Put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. So don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Tonight, we have an exciting show lined up. We're going to deal with the variations of bullying. For those of you who would like to find out more about our broadcast and find out about the projects and different things that we have going on, feel free to follow us on Twitter, and that is at C Mr. Motivator. The letter C as in cow, M-R-M-O-T-I-V-A-T-O-R. And if you have an email or question, you email us at CTheMotivator@yahoo.com. The letter C as in cow, THEMOTIVATOR@yahoo.com. And also, feel free to go to my blog and read my post and find out where I'm performing or doing comedy or motivational speaking. And if you want to order my book or other resource material, go to DwightJeffrey.blogspot.com. That's DwightJeffrey.blogspot.com. And if you want to join us and be with us on the live broadcast, just dial area code 323-580-5712. Dealing with the variations of bullying, we're going to discuss bullying in all its forms and the impact that it has on the bully and also the victim. What is being done to make society aware of this problem? We're going to cover the challenges that lie in bullying. It gives me a great pleasure to bring on our guest who's going to join us tonight, and he's going to help us with looking at the challenges with bullying and see if we can find a solution. We want to look at some strategies that can help us be more effective in handling this problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome my guest. Let's give him a round of applause. Ladies and gentlemen, Evangelist Ray. How you doing, Evangelist Ray?
Doing great.
Hey, I know you've been busy. I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us and to participate in a subject that I think needs to be reviewed and looked at more carefully.
No problem.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, during the times when you were a kid growing up in school, did you ever encounter a bully?
Of course. Most of us have encountered bullying
in some form, whether we know it or not. Many people probably in denial concerning bullying. But bullying goes all the way back into the foundation of this country, with nations bullying smaller nations, nation bullying tribes. So when we look at bullying and people look at our children in high school or in elementary, we think of it as an isolated incident with a child, when in reality it stems from nations. When you look at the founding of this country, and you had different colonial people coming over to the to America, being helped by tribal Indians, and even tribal Indians, fully smaller tribal Indians. When you look at nature itself, when you see a lion, a stronger lion, he comes in and takes over an older lion.
Yes, that's true.
This is the actually nature. When you see a big dog comes in and little dog has a piece of meat, he bullies it, he takes it and eats it for himself. These are things that's in our society. It will be until the day Jesus Christ come back. Now, my personal experience with bullying is a little complex and a little perplexed from the point that my mother and dad were Christians, and they forbid us from fighting. So a lot of times you have kids who necessarily are not, they are able to take up for themselves when they're being bullied. But a lot of times there are rules set in place that prevent them from taking up for themselves. For example, my mother and dad let us know that if we were fighting and somebody, said one of the teachers came and told them that one of us was in a fight, we would get a whooping when we got home. So we had a decision to make. Here we're being picked on by some students. My mother and father's rule was if you didn't get hit, you couldn't hit them. Well, the whole time, kids looked at it as a weakness. If you don't hit back or say anything back, they look at, hey, I'm just going to keep doing this. And so when I was coming up, if the teacher even said that she was in the class talking and cracking jokes at somebody, that was another whooping. So I felt like I was in Vietnam. You know, Vietnam is, you know, if you know the story about Vietnam, how there were many things that happened in the in Vietnam, and they couldn't shoot at a certain time. If the person ran across the border, they couldn't, you know, advance after them. So they were going by a lot of rules. The American troops were going by a lot of rules that the Vietnamese weren't going by. They didn't have any rules. So you have two types of children in school today. You have children who have rules from parents who are setting rules. Then you have a group of kids whose parents don't have any rules. And so they don't play by rules. They come in, call you, all kind of things, talk about your mama. And then if you say something back, you have to decide, if this gets back to my parents, then what? But they're looking at it, I don't care if it gets back to my parents. Nothing's going to happen to me. So here you have a child who's not so much as a coward, but he's being viewed as a coward by the majority because he is unable to stand up for himself because he knows the consequences. This child has no consequences. You have many consequences. And so you, it's just like if you driving down the street and you driving a company vehicle, and this guy is just driving a stolen vehicle. He don't care if the car gets tore up. He don't have anything to lose. It's not his car anyway. You see, but if the car gets tore up in your possession, not only could you tear up a car, but you possibly could lose your job. You can't provide for your children, your wife. You have a lot of consequences to think about. And so people bullying, it goes further than just somebody picking on somebody, somebody being afraid. It has to be that some people are being picked on, they have great consequences. And so that's where a lot of people are not looking at when they look at bullying. Bullying is more than just somebody being afraid of somebody. It's also meaning I have some consequences if I even stand up to you.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying that when someone has there are consequences when there are things that are in place to chastise them, if they do it, they're going to think before they cross that line. And so what you're saying, the kids that don't have any consequences, they don't feel like they'll be disciplined. So it's okay, or they feel like, hey, I can do it all at once. So do you think in the schools, do you think that the schools should have more things in place to handle the kid that continues to bully and he moves up the charts and he moves to more kids or he looks for more people to make his victim? What do you think we should do to try to eliminate that kid from growing up and turning into a monster?
Well, you're not going to really, and this is something that people have to just accept, you're never going to get rid of bullies because countries are bullies. So to get rid of bullies, then you have to destroy a country. Of course, you're not going to destroy a country, and you're not going to destroy a continent.
Right.
So it's almost like the old saying, you can't stop them, but you can't contain them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then you also can rehabilitate. And so what you have is a situation like a football game. If you have a football game and you let this guy pull and tug and hit, but then when this guy does it, you call a penalty. Well, that's why you have coaches, and that's why you have review boards.
I got you.
So they want to say, call it fair. Call it on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So since people cannot be in people's homes, you know, we don't know how they're raising their kids. Everybody raises their kids different. But then there has to be accountability and responsibility. And so what has to happen is now you have to find the parent, and not just the child. You have to bring the parent to the table at the school and let them know that this is going to be called both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that we're going to call this both ways. We're not going to let your child come in here and just do what he wants to do regardless of what you're teaching him, because we are teaching here. And so when everybody gets here, then there has to be the same guidelines, same rules. And so when I say accountability, that the school district or school leadership or whatever teachers have to not only take responsibility for what's going on, they have to become accountable, meaning let's look into this and become accountable and take ownership. And that's what the word accountability means, is take ownership of it. Let's take ownership of why this kid or these kids are doing such things. And let's take the responsibility of making some changes here.
Mm-hmm.
That means that it has to be more than just me taking you to the principal and writing up a referral and say we need to talk to your parents. No, we're going to take ownership of this because you're here in our possession, and we're going to set some strict rules. And once we catch you doing this, then we're going to take responsibility and take action on this. And so when you start doing that, now you have both children understanding that they're looking over their shoulder now. In other words, you can't say, oh, my parents ain't going to do nothing, because you don't know what his parent is doing. So if you say, I'm going to tell your parents, telling your parents to one kid could mean, oh, my God, tell them to another, so what? Tell them, you know. But now if you say, no, we are going to take ownership of this, we are going to do something today. Yeah, we don't have to call your parents, because we've already talked to them when they came to the school. And we let them know what we are going to do, and if they cannot deal with this, then they don't need you here. And so that's when you contain it. In other words, you remove those who don't want to do this, but you don't just remove them like just one strike, three. In other words, you give them an ability to be rehabilitated.
Yes.
And an opportunity to change, and that comes into a board where you're not just throwing away the key and throwing them somewhere. You're actually putting them somewhere where they can be taught and be changed and be corrected.
Yes.
But what happens in society today and in our school district, they're not taking accountability for it. People don't want to talk and teach the kids. They just want to get up on a blackboard and give them, hey, this is what you do. And then when it comes to rehabilitation, correcting, and punishment, it's almost like, okay, I'll let you do that. Then, oh, no, I'll let you do it. And it's just bouncing the kid down the chain to the next person, basically shucking the responsibility of dealing with this child who's probably not getting disciplined at home and probably needs to be sit down and corrected, not so much just sent to some home or juvenile or some jail. That's not the remedy, you know, just to sense, okay, are we going to send a juvenile or are we just going to throw away the key? You know, that's not the remedy, because what happens, that creates a monster, and the monster is because nobody ever dealt with it. It's just like a bad knee. You never rehabilitate it, strengthen it, then it becomes weaker and weaker, and then it becomes a problem down the road. Same thing with a child. If you never sit down and rehabilitate him and correct him and put set boundaries and consequences with him, even if he do fail, you know, so what if he messed up? Hey, we're just going to come back to the drawing board. We're going to do this all over again with you. And so when you start doing that, you'll see you can contain bullying.
I like that what you said and the word that you used, accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. In sports, you know, in the NFL, for unnecessary roughness, there is a penalty.
Right.
Okay, and then on top of the penalty, sometimes there is a huge fine.
Right.
And those fines will get people's attention.
Mm.
You know, even though you have a nice income as a professional athlete, when they take $5,000, $10,000, or $20,000 out of your pocket, you feel that, don't you?
Right.
And like you said, when there's no accountability, that's when we deal with problems. And I like the other thing. I think what you said is vitally important. You mentioned about fairness.
Right.
Because if we don't make sure that we address each kid and address, look at the issue and look at, hey, do we deal with all these kids the same way that we deal with this bully, the same way we're going to deal with the next bully that comes up?
Mm-hmm.
Because I often find that when parents and educators, when they let one kid get off, hey, well, normally we do this, but because I like you, we're just going to let you pretend that this didn't happen. And then what they're doing, now the bully feels like I have a silver tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just talk my way out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't believe that's really helping when they let bullies go without being addressed or let them realize that, hey, you got to deal with accountability. You got to be accountable for being a leader, for being a part of this team.
Mm-hmm.
There, if you're not accountable, there are going to be consequences.
Right. And see, one thing about it, there's another level to that, too, with accountability,
mm-hmm.
responsibility, and consequences.
Yes.
Now, one of the three, or those three things, accountability, responsibility, and consequences, all three of those, if you wrap all of that together, it should be wrapped up and based on charity, which is love. And so when we look at that, the reason I bring up charity and I bring up love is because this country, the United States of America, was actually founded on the Bible. A lot of people say it wasn't, but the Massachusetts Bay Colony and Rhode Island Colony, those two colonies together basically were the example that the United States built off of. It was, you know, 13 colonies, but those two colonies were the two that really, that the America looked at very hard. And when we look at accountability, responsibility, and consequences, we build that on charity. Then let's look at the Bible, how the Bible looks at it, and let's look at how we deal with bullies. You see, a lot of bullies are actually victims themselves. And I'm not feeling, you know, making an excuse for them, but,
right.
but all behavior is learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as behavior being from osmosis or just popped out the sky. It was actually learned.
Yes.
So the Bible tells us, let us be renewed, that our mind has to be renewed.
Uh-huh.
We have to have a changed mind, right?
Yes.
And so if our mind has to be changed, that means that there has to be a consequence.
Yes.
But the consequence does not have to be punishment, punishment, punishment. It has to be punishment reinforced with what you don't deserve. And what I mean by that is this. Let's look at how God looks at it, and let's look at, since we're built on the Bible.
Yes.
God says there is a consequence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life.
Yes.
So God comes in with a punishment, but then at the same time, he gives you something that you don't deserve, and that's called mercy, okay? And so what happens is if you get a child or an adult who is a bully or picks on people, he's doing no more than what he has learned, because all behavior is learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
He saw America enforce its will on other smaller countries and on tribes and African-Americans and different immigrants. It imposed its will.
Mm-hmm.
Great Britain, she imposed her will. That is the nature of the beast. People impose their will upon smaller people. So people learn this. When we look at movies, you see the sheriff, whether he's a sheriff or not, but he's the biggest sheriff. He draws quicker than anybody else, and he shoots them, and he wins the day. Superman is Superman. Why? Because Superman is stronger than everybody else. Spider-Man is Spider-Man because he's quicker. So you are teaching them the bigger and the strongest and the quickest wins out. So a lot of times a bully is not so much looking at himself as a bully. He's looking at himself as I'm the strongest, I'm the fittest. It's almost survival of the fittest. And some people don't believe that, but that is a philosophy, the survival of the fittest. The weak must die and give way to the strong. Look at the football teams, you know, with their mascot, Lions, yeah, Tigers, and yeah, Bears, and yeah, we the Titans, you know. And so when you see the bigger team, you know that they impose, they will, they ran it down their throat, they beat them down. Yeah. And so the stronger person, the weaker person gives way to the bigger linebacker or the bigger offensive lineman. So this is something that's taught. I'm not saying we should stop playing sports, but what I'm saying is society teaches bullying. So what there has to be is what I brought up earlier is containing. You have to contain bullying. And you cannot stamp it out because it is a part of our fabric.
Right.
But you have to contain it. And so, but it has to be positive reinforcement. That means you have this bully. Let's look at ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to make this real quick.
Okay.
Look at we go out and do things wrong. And I guess this is what reminded me of positive reinforcement.
Yes.
I owed a debt to some furniture before, and I owed this debt. I bought some furniture. And when I bought the furniture, I was unable to pay for it. So the company called me, and little did I know there was a preacher that I knew who knew the people who had sold me the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And they had kind of let him know, and he knew that I. And so they told me, they called me and kind of reprimanded me, you need to get this in. I was not a problem. But this preacher had invited me to this group event.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there and I found out that the preacher knew, and I was like embarrassed, like, oh man, he's just gonna really let me have it when I get in this meeting that I didn't pay for this furniture, and he knew the people, it could be a reflection on him. So when I sit in the meeting, he comes up into the meeting, he sees me sitting there, and I'm just waiting to get blasted. But instead of him blasting me, he comes in and gives me a hug, and everybody treats me as if I never received any furniture and I didn't owe a dime.
Wow.
It really was like, wow. Now, this doesn't, everyone doesn't, is not helped by this way, but a lot of people are. It hurt me so much. It was a hurt, a thank you, a hurt, but it was also a gratitude that made me want to do better.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of young kids who are angry.
Yeah.
They're bullies and picking on people to get their way.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, they have never gone on nice trips. They've never had nice clothes.
Yeah.
All they know to do is the survival of the fittest. A lot of them at home and mom brings in the plate.
Yeah.
They try to get the biggest piece of chicken. They have to wrestle for that piece of chicken.
Yeah.
It's a war. They come in and it's a pair of shoes. And it's three folks who try to get that pair of shoes. They have to wrestle to get that pair of shoes.
Yeah.
So they take that mentality and bring it into society, in their marriages, in the jobs, in the school. And so when I said earlier about taking ownership and accountability, the school teacher has to take ownership of what type of man or child or girl or woman are we dealing with? What makes you tick? What hurts you? What makes you hurt hurts me, and what makes you tick ticks with me too.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to take this ownership of that.
Yeah.
In other words, let me take you on a trip with your kids sometime and show you what you could have. Not tell you, but show you. In other words, it's easy to say, if you do this, I'm going to do this. But the kid has never experienced this, then how can you say what I'm missing? But let's say you took that same kid and took him to a nice field trip, the bad one, the bully.
Yeah.
And then you came and sit him down. Sometimes the greatest witness is one-on-one. So we can always reprimand people publicly, but a lot of times we have to reprimand them privately, one-on-one. So you bring this kid in or an adult, and you talk to them and say, look what I did. I took you on a trip that you didn't deserve. I really want you to have that, but this is what you're doing wrong. And so if you keep going down this path, then I can't do this. But I offered you this, and I gave it to you. Why people say, no, you can't give nobody until they own it. Well, look at how God did it. He gave us eternal life. We did nothing to merit it or to receive it.
Wow, that's a very well said. I like the way you put that. Mm-hmm. And what came to me as you were talking, mm-hmm. it made me reflect back on the fact that it's important for us as in parents, leaders, educators, our lives, we should be transparent. Mm-hmm. The kids should see us mm-hmm. as a transparent. Mm-hmm. We should live our lives in a way that the kids feel that, wow, look how Dr. Charles handled this situation, and he didn't blow up. He still took all of us on a trip, and he took Jimmy, even though we felt like Jimmy didn't deserve it. Dr. Charles went out of his way to show Jimmy that he was important. And another reason I mentioned transparent, I've heard a lot of parents say, don't do as I do. Do as I say do. Mm-hmm. Okay, now if you're a parent and you're turning up a bottle of beer, but you're telling this kid they need to do a certain thing, and the kid is looking at you, you're not being transparent. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, children notice what adults do, what their leadership, the people that raise them, they look at how they do things. Mm-hmm. There are some people, both male and female, women and men, when they get angry, and because they don't like a person, they may do something to bully that person or to try to wreck their lives up. What I'm going to do, I'm going to expose him. I'm going to put a video of him on YouTube. I'm going to put it in cyberspace to show that this man has issues. He's not really a man. Okay, and maybe you got some kids looking at the same thing. Because one article that I read earlier today mentioned that a lot of kids nowadays, when say the girls pick on a certain guy or pick on another girl or the guys, they will get a tape, get a video, and they'll fabricate it, and they'll put it out there in cyberspace. And that person's life, that young man's life is torn apart mm-hmm. because they showed something about him, and they put it out there so the world, and anything that goes in the cyberspace, they cannot get that back. Mm-hmm. Once it's out there, and a lot of the kids even will go on in cyberspace and they'll say bad things about other people and send it out there in cyberspace, and it's traveling around the world. And because they saw an adult do something, and so they want to take bullying a step further and do it to the other kids. So how do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that should not happen. Of course that shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at it from another perspective.
Yeah, right here.
You know, just like if you look at a glass of water, somebody may look at that water and say, hey, it's half full. Another person may look at it half empty.
Yeah.
So it's really how the person saw that. Now, I'm not saying that a person shouldn't be devastated and hurt by that. I would be devastated and hurt by something like that. And we all should be devastated. But we have to be prepared for the worst. Now,
yeah.
The reason I say that is look at Jesus Christ back to our country being based off Christianity.
Yes.
And here we have Jesus Christ coming from heaven, the Father, the Son. He's strung up on a cross, basically naked, taking his clothes, they're gambling over his underwear, and he's there humiliated. Basically, you just really can't get no more humiliated than being stripped down with no clothes on, whipped like you know, some animal, and then just hung there. But yet, here's Jesus standing there, hanging there on the cross, and a lot of people say, well, that's something. Type of fabricated story. Well, let's look at something that a lot of people can relate to, especially African Americans in America.
Yes.
Being torn away from their home, being whipped in front of their wives, being slammed to the ground like animals. Even today, police brutality, a lot of times they make them sit down on the curb. You know, this is a citizen, this is an adult, but you say, sit down on the ground right here. And this is humiliating. And a lot of times that's on video, that's on TV. So that's very demeaning humiliating, degrading. But the true issue is this. Here's the main question that a person has to ask themselves before they start talking about my life has been ruined. The question is, why do you put more emphasis? And so I guess this is a question and a statement at the same time. Why do you put more emphasis on what people think about you than what God thinks about you? You know, and that's because people want to be accepted. You know, people have more thing that I want to be accepted in society. And if they see me on this video having sex or see me on this video being mistreated, then I can never be accepted. I can never be at the top. And so in reality, that's not the nature of a Christian. Jesus Christ was a humble man. Jesus Christ was a man who, the Bible said, he foxes had holes, but he had nowhere to lay his head. He didn't even have an animal. That's almost like saying he didn't have a car in this day and time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have anything to ride. He had to borrow a coat to ride in. And so what we have today is an alarming amount of, let me hurry up and get rich. I want to be a superstar. I want to be a movie star. I want to get on American Idol and become famous. So you have this desire to be famous, this desire to be accepted. So when failure hits them in the face, let's say if failure hits them in the face, where they don't get this big job or I don't get this big six-figure contract, it's like the end of the world. Let me show you what I'm trying to say. Let me break it down and try to make this quick. Let's say you take a person, and I'm not making fun of people who live on the bridges. You take a person on the bridge, and then you take him and put him on a video. Do you think he's going to kill himself because you put him on a video? So what? What else worse could happen to me? I live on a bridge. Put it everywhere you want to put it. You know, it doesn't matter. But then you take another person who's running for president, and he got him doing something he shouldn't have did. He said, it's called extortion. I'll put this out here if you. Well, he has a lot to lose. And so he's worried about this, or she has a lot to lose. Let's say she's famous and everybody's how pretty she is, and then we got a video of you doing something that you shouldn't have been doing, and we are going to spread this all over the place. Well, if you took the same mentality, I have nothing to lose because my hope is not in you. Even if you did put that out there, so what, I'm still going to live, you see. And so what has to be done in this today's society
mm-hmm.
is to learn that all behavior is learned behavior. All responses is learned. And so regardless of what my parents do, because the Bible tells me not to set light by my parents, so regardless of what my mom and dad do, whether they tell me to do it and they don't do it, I'm not building off that. I'm building off the golden principle, do unto others as I would have them do unto me.
Yes.
Love the Lord with all heart, mind, soul, and strength. So if I do that, I go out here and follow my faith. But in the morning, I'm still going to rise because my hope is in Christ Jesus. My hope is in a supreme being, a higher being. Even doctors, who a lot of them are not even religious, will tell a person who's under stress, who's under problems, you know what they'll tell them? They'll say, do you have some type of faith or religion? In other words, everybody has to have faith in something, some religion that they can meditate day and night. The Bible says if you would meditate on this word day and night, then thou shalt have success. And so that means that if you put your mind on this, regardless of what you're doing, I remember this very vividly. I was at a church, and well, I grew up in a church where with school where people talk to me all the time. Like, they would talk about my mom. They would talk about the way I look. They called me Bucky Beaver. Now, it was a lot going on in my mind. But when I would go home, I had a little altar I would go and pray on. So I really wasn't a coward, but it was the fact that I knew that if I got in any more fights, there was a whooping waiting on me at the house. I also attended a church where they preached every day. So I would go home on this little altar, and I would meditate and tell God about the things that were going on to me. That prepared me in life. That was in my younger years. Now, in life, a lot of things that I did to myself and a lot of things I didn't do. But every time it happened to me, I would always resort back to my high school and my elementary years. I made it over. I recovered. I didn't die. And I made it through that. And I'll never forget, as an adult, I had a pastor I loved him very dearly. He got over the pulpit, said a lot of things about me that wasn't true. And this church, we're not talking about 100 people. It's about 1,000, 2,000 people at church that night. He said my name, had my little paper. I could have looked at that as bullying. But something happened. It didn't faze me. I looked at him, what he was doing, and it didn't faze me. You know why? Because I knew that my life is bigger than what you're saying. My life is not in you. My life is in Christ Jesus. My life is in what God has said I would do. So what you were doing didn't devastate me. Now, if my hope was in him, was in the crowd, it was in that church, I probably would have went crazy. Because I would have been like, oh, my God, you're taking everything from me. But he took nothing from me because what I had, I owned. He could not take it. It was ownership.
I like that. And I like what you said also about acceptance. Mm-hmm. Some bullies, basically, they want to be accepted.
Wow.
And they're doing something to impress someone.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've had something done to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do the same to somebody else. So looking at what we've discussed, it appears that attitude plays a big role
mm-hmm.
In our lives. And if our attitude is shaped to where we look on the positive side and we're looking to a better result
mm-hmm.
than if our attitude is bad and we just want an excuse to fail. We want an excuse to keep doing what we're doing. And what do we do to reach children or kids at an early age? What are some things we can do to kind of bring them out of that if we notice that they're developing that type of mindset? Because I'm looking at a lot of the leaders today
mm-hmm.
that are successful in as well as sports or entertainment, there was someone that did what you said your parents did to you. They instilled into that child, they instilled
mm-hmm.
into you
right.
that your life has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You have some place to go. You have something to do, and you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you think we can do to get some of these kids at an early age to motivate them?
Well, what has happened to motivate
mm-hmm.
is the same thing when I was in the military.
Yes.
I went to the Navy, and
mm-hmm.
when you had to swim qualify.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it nicely, to be honest with you. They
mm-hmm.
they told us to get up on the plank and jump. Now, a lot of us couldn't swim. I know I couldn't swim at the time. But I couldn't swim. But I said, I can't swim. So what? Get up there. And they just made me jump. And I jumped in there, and I went to drowning, stuck a pole in, grabbed a pole, pulled me out. And then they said, get back up there again. I can't swim. Jump. And so when I jumped again, and then they made us every day go and practice swimming. And they trained us. But after they trained us, they made us face it. And so what has to happen in society? I'm not saying to be that harsh with young kids.
Right.
What I am saying is that when it comes to dealing with life, the only way to deal with life is to deal with life itself, meaning to face it. And so we cannot deal with life, meaning to run from life, because life will come and find you and run over you.
That's
and
true.
So avoiding something is not the answer, because eventually they have to face it anyway.
So what you're saying, they're trying to avoid, run away from that bully.
Will not work.
It's not gonna work.
That's not gonna work. All
move to another school. There are some parents take their kids to 10, 12 schools, and they move all around the country so that child won't have to face that bully. So
I'm not saying don't leave a school if the school is not taking ownership.
Right.
What I'm saying is if the school is taking ownership,
okay.
that doesn't mean you need to leave the school.
Right.
Now, you don't put a kid in a school where they just it's out of control
yeah,
and then just say, face it. No,
yeah.
I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that you don't take a kid out of a school because there is a bully if the school has set up ownership, meaning we're going to own and it's going to be both ways. We're going to deal with this bully and we're going to deal with your child. Now, if you got a school where the principal and the faculty is not taking ownership and responsibility of what's going on, by all means, take your child out of that school. But what I'm saying is that trying to take the kid and hide them or hide them from reality
mm-hmm.
is not going to work. It's just almost like having a daughter and knowing that you got a lot of guys out there that mistreat women and think that I'm going to keep my daughter away from a man. Eventually, she's going to want a man. you know, and so what happens is she's not prepared for that. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that if you have kids or youth or even adults,
mm-hmm.
they have to be trained but yet allowed to face it.
Yes.
Head on.
Yes.
Face it head on. And so what I mean by that, a lot of the things that I've gone through in my life, whether I liked them or not, whether they were my fault or not, I still had to face it and deal with it, just like you was mentioning a lot of people that are successful or they're famous now. Their mom and dad instilled things in them
mm-hmm.
that they had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But even those children, if you could sit them down, they're adults now, and talk to them about failures and trials, even they had failures. They had trials they had to go through. Look at Jerry Jones, one of the most richest men in America, ownership of the Dallas Cowboys. But if you look at his childhood and look at his upbringing, he had failure. He had things he had to deal with. And his dad didn't shelter him from it. He allowed him to deal with it. He allowed him to face it. You see?
Yes.
And so what I'm saying is if you have a young man or young woman who is dealing with bullying, dealing with different situations, you can't run him from the bully.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give him a plan, a purpose, your purpose in life.
Yes.
And so you have to give him a directive. And so he goes there and face this bully or face this situation head on, he fails, then you come back, okay, we're going to plan B. In other words, you're showing him or her how to deal with adversity. How do I know this? The Bible said if you faint in the midst of adversity, your strength is small. So that means that a person has to have strength. The only way you build up strength is like lift weights and pick up things, right?
That's right.
You build up the muscle.
Yes.
Same thing with your mind. The only way you can have a strong mind and to know things, you have to read, you have to practice, you have to jog your brain. Same concept with dealing with adversity and dealing with trouble. You have to be taught and then you have to face it. You can't be taught and hide. You have to be taught mm-hmm. and face it. And when you face it, oh, man, that didn't work. Now you know what to adjust. How does a defense adjust to a great offense?
Mm-hmm.
It makes halftime adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Same concept.
I like that. Okay, now, what about when it gets to a point where some people get involved and they're stuck in a relationship
mm-hmm.
where the man is bullying the wife
yep.
or the wife is bullying the husband? Some people may not even realize this,
mm-hmm.
and the person just seems like they're just wonderful and beautiful, and all of a sudden once they the wedding bells come on, they come out the ring fighting,
yeah.
and they're trying to bully this other person because they want to control everything, and there's conflict and there's drama. Is there anything a person who's single before they get in enter a relationship like that? Are there signals? Are there things a man should watch for? Are there things a woman should watch for before they enter into a union with someone that's going to bully them for the rest of their lives or for the rest of their marriage?
Yeah, there is a lot of things you can look for. And this is what society does. Society, and I know I used to do it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't do that anymore. Society teaches us to look for or look out for the signs, the warning signs. You see so many times they'll say things like, "Oh, well, this is what you look for when you're looking for an abusive husband or a lying wife."
Yes.
And really, that's not accurate. That's not how God looks at it if we're saying that we're a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
What does God think about it? Well, let's look at Isaiah 1:18. He said, "Come now, let us reason together."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet," he said, "I shall make them white as snow."
Yes.
He said, "Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now, the first thing that God was saying, he wasn't saying, "Come now, let's reason together, though their sins," he said yours. He's talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing a person should look for is
yes.
not look outside, is look within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you leave the house, you don't look at what how somebody else is dressed and look outside and go, oh, what color they're wearing. If some people may do that, but mainly you should look at what you want to wear and what
yes.
what makes you feel good.
Right.
And so if a person knows what makes them feel good
mm-hmm.
quite naturally when they meet somebody that makes them feel unlike what they want to feel or desire to feel, that's not the person. In other words, It's not about looking for the signs in other person, other people.
Uh-huh.
It's looking for the signs within yourself.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times what people need to do is look at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a country and a society that people do not take ownership. Look at the beginning. There were three people, the serpent, Eve, and Adam. And each one of them said, that woman. And then he said, the serpent beguiled me. But look how God dealt with it. God didn't say, oh, okay, I'm going to punish her for deceiving you, and I'm going to punish him. He dealt with each one and punished them for their account of responsibility, for their actions that they did. He punished them according to what they did wrong. So that's the same concept. If a woman is in a relationship or a man and they're feeling abused or feeling mistreated, then the question is to them, I know it's not an easy question, but it's something they have to accept. Why did you even be with him or her? And why can you not disconnect from him or her? And to say it's him and her all the time is not taking responsibility and ownership. In other words, you're not taking ownership of your part that you played in that.
Yes.
And so even if you are to get away from that individual, you're just going to find another person just like him or her and do the same thing over, because there's one person that's with you that's taking you on these journeys, and that's yourself.
Yeah.
You know, a person can say all day, I was smoking crack, and not saying me because I've never smoked crack, but let's say somebody said they were smoking crack, and they went to California, and this guy introduced crack to me. If it wasn't for him introducing me to this crack, I wouldn't have been on crack. That's not true. You can go to every state, but every time you get to another state, you're going to locate somebody that sells or smokes crack, and you're going to join up with them. But when you change, no matter where you go and somebody's smoking crack, then you're not going to be around them because that's not your cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, a lot of times people say, oh, I was abused or I was mistreated.
Yeah.
Not saying it should be done. I'm not advocating that it should be done. But there is a reason why that was happening. There's a reason why you were with that person. You know, nobody gets with people because they were made unless they were raped or they were kidnapped. But if you voluntarily went in that situation, there's a reason why you did that. And that means there's something within you that needs to change. I'm not saying if you are raped that something changed or something was forced upon you. We're talking about a decision that you made that was not forced upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a reason why you keep making that decision.
Wow.
And so what has to happen is now the person has to look within themselves and say, why am I with an abusive husband? Why am I with an abusive wife? I'm not saying they desire that, they like that. But it's something about that person that you chose. And so with a person, to make it just really blunt, would a person walk up to an individual and every day slap them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? I mean, on the first day, come here, pop, 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 pop. Nobody does that. And they say, well, you don't understand. Well, I do understand, because it's almost like a person going to the store and saying, every time I go into the store, I wrote down what I'm going to buy. And it costs $50. But every time I get to the register, they ring up $100.
Yeah.
Well, you put something in the basket that wasn't on the paper, right?
Uh-huh.
And so it's the same concept. If you were an individual that keeps mistreating you, no matter how you want to blame him for mistreating you, you accepted something that was not on paper before you met that person. When you left the house, you said, I will not be with a guy that don't do this, this, and this. But when you got with this guy, you made concessions. So when you make those concessions, now you need to go home and ask yourself a question. Why are you making concessions?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people make concessions because they feel like I'm getting too old or I won't find nobody. So you see that this woman or man is not for you, but you make concessions to be with them.
You're right. They may feel desperate or something.
That's it. You're feeling desperate.
Wow. Now, that brings another question to me I'd like for you to help us with. What about people in the workforce, in corporate America? They end up being on a job with they get a job that the supervisor, for some reason, does not like this person, and they want to degrade them, humiliate them, bully them for some reason. I've seen cases where there were women or a woman was intimidated by a certain man.
Mm-hmm.
And she came after him, and often he wouldn't be guilty of anything,
mm-hmm.
and she was so infatuated with this particular man and going after him that she ended up becoming vindictive. And I've seen the same thing with some men on jobs with certain women. This particular man just, I don't know if it's, he liked this particular young lady or there was something about her that he didn't like, but he came at her from every direction. So if you're an individual listening to the show tonight, and you're on a job where you got somebody that's been vindictive, and they'll come at you for no reason, how do you handle a situation like that?
Well, you handle that situation by the same way we were just talking about relationship, mm-hmm. taking ownership
yeah.
for your inability to deal with what you're facing. In other words, it's a mind thing. It's mental. And if a person's mind is not renewed and strengthened to deal with this,
mm-hmm.
then they will not be able to overcome it. And so here's the thing. A lot of times people are afraid of faith. And see, it is impossible to be successful without faith. How do I know this? Well, for Jesus to be successful in what he did, there was a failure before Jesus. Not that Jesus failed, but we failed. So there was plenty of failure before Jesus died on the cross. Okay, and so there was plenty of failure before the Dallas Cowboys won their first Super Bowl. And so my point is this. If a person comes after you, for whatever reason they desire to come after you, here's some of the questions to owning up to that situation. What is it about that individual or that company or that situation that has you so afraid of the consequences?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't be afraid of consequences because
right.
we have rightfully so. We should all have fears in certain areas, but we still have to overcome that fear. In other words, even if this woman says she's going to come after me or this man is going to come after this woman, the question is, why can't you stand up to them? And I'm not saying stand up fighting and kicking or being vindictive, meaning God gave you a brain. Why have you not sat down and set a plan together on what I'm going to do when this person comes after me?
Okay.
Why have I not set a plan? In other words, if this person said I'm going to be vindictive, they can do no more than God allowed them. And many times when people put pressure on you, I remember when I was coming up, people just ask me questions, they would do things, and I would panic, and I would rush my answers. But as I got older, I began to slow down. I said, well, if you just slow down and give a good response and think about what you want to say, you don't have to rush it. Just because they say you want you to die to rush, just like driving down the highway. A lot of times people will get behind you, and they'll get up real close to try to force you to go faster. Well, that's called pressure. You know, the old saying, pressure busts a pipe, you see. And so what happens is it's not so much that people are intimidated, but they are intimidated. So
mm-hmm.
it seems like I said something that didn't make sense, but if you hear me, it does make sense. In other words, you don't have to be intimidated, but you become intimidated
mm-hmm.
when you allow the intimidator
mm-hmm.
to put pressure on you to make a rush decision or rush response.
Oh.
So in other words, here comes this woman who is vindictive, and she's upset with you. Well, she begins to put pressure on you at the job and put things on your mind, and you are afraid of what could happen. So you begin to make bad choices. It's just like George Bush. Remember when George Bush said they would not deal with terrorists. You know, terrorists grab them and say, if you don't do this, we'll do this. Well, the way the terrorist is able to do that is because he knows that you're afraid of consequence. Remember we talked about the guy on the bridge. If he has nothing to lose, what could you do to a person that's under the bridge to say, we're going to go tell everybody you're on the bridge? Okay, they see me this every day under the bridge, you see. So when you have things to lose, terrorists and people who know this, they take that and use that against you. But what you have to do to them, not saying being mean to them, you have to allow them to know there's nothing you can do that will force me or intimidate me to do something outside of my character, outside of what I want to do. Now, that's a hard thing to do because that's something you have to learn. That doesn't happen overnight. That's something that you have to, every day or every week, that you have to practice on. And practice on that means I need to put God first in my life, and I need to let God know and let the people know he is first. The only thing that could happen to me to intimidate me is to take God out of my life. If God is in my life and he's first in my life, there's nothing you can do to intimidate me and to force me to make another decision.
I like what you said. And looking at the fact that you're an evangelist and, mm-hmm. and you work a lot in the ministry, how do you handle some of these situations? And it happens on both sides of the spectrum. There are men and women
mm-hmm.
That probably get caught up in this.
Yeah.
But if you have that woman that's very vindictive, or the woman is like, he's going to be mine. I want him to be
right.
my trophy case.
Right.
And the woman is maybe she's attractive.
Right.
And she knows that men may be vulnerable if she can get them in a certain position.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you never know when they want to expose the man of the cloth,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the public or whatever. How do you handle it if one comes in your office and she's got on a coat and all of a sudden she mm-hmm. takes her coat off and there's nothing there?
Well, you handle, and I don't want to just say a man, because we want to put women in men, because
you're right. There are men
that do it
that will expose themselves to women.
So let's go with both of them. Let's go with what does
okay.
a woman do with a man. But
yeah.
they will do the same thing.
Okay.
First of all, everything that's done in private doesn't have to go public.
Okay.
So that means that just because somebody said they're going to do something doesn't mean you have to address it. But once it has gone public, then address it. And the only way to address something like this is to just, like I said before, face life itself.
Face it,
deal it.
And deal with
in other words, if they
don't hide, don't pay somebody $100 or $100,000.
No. Just go on and deal with it. In other words, let's say, for example, a person came to me and exposed themselves. Now, if I expose themselves, I say, hey, get out of my office. Let's say I didn't do that. Let's say they can't expose themselves and something actually happened between us. Well, the only way to deal with that is one way. Is if I did something, hey, I did something, forgive me, and move on with your life. If you didn't do anything, I did nothing, and I don't have to address no more about it. In other words, if you want to keep going with this, you go on. I'm not going to sit and entertain you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but now, if you want to take this all out in the media, take it all out in
mm-hmm.
public, and fine, I'm going to go on my life.
Yeah.
And so the thing
or
is,
if you don't, and I've seen some situations, if you don't give me that opportunity, I'm going to tell people that, You don't care. You like men. You know, maybe you're homosexual, or maybe they'll do the man will do the lady a similar way. I'm gonna take this to the public. I'm gonna tell them this lie if you don't conform to.
Well, if your person does that, then
mm-hmm.
you let them do that. In other words, that goes back to extortion. It goes back to what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
In other words, that's the enemy. In other words. You are a person knows when a person is trying to be famous or that you want to be popular or that you want to reach a certain height. They know
mm-hmm.
that I will take this because what's the fear? Let's do it like this. Let me slow down.
Yeah.
If a person was a bum, now I go back to this because most people that are a bum or homeless, they basically lost everything.
Yeah.
Could you go to a person under the bridge and say, listen, if you don't do this, I'm going to tell the whole world that you like men. I'm going to tell the whole world that you like dogs. So what? Okay, tell them, you know. So that wouldn't work with them. But when a person has a lot to lose, but you have to play like you have nothing to lose, just like a game. You can't play the game like you got something to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You have to play the game like you have nothing to lose so you can be loose. So it's the same thing when it comes to somebody coming to you saying what they're going to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, because if anybody leaves me for being human, then they wasn't for me anyway. Me because of me being human
mm-hmm.
or actually for me.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be willing to accept failure, accept rejection, accept consequences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like what you're saying. You gave some good illustrations, and you're right. Even if it's a dog and that dog is barking and he
mm-hmm.
senses fear, he's ready to put on a show, and we have to overcome the fear. We have to face the fear. Well, it looks like we're out of time, but I want to thank you, Evangelist Ray, for being on our show. You're just awesome, and you seem to be a young man that has dealt with things in life, and you've learned from some of the challenges you've had to overcome. And for you to, could you come back and be with us on another broadcast in the future? We'll cover some other issues.
Oh, yeah, sure will.
Okay, folks, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for tuning in to the broadcast, and I just want to say one thing for all of you. I hope you got something out of the show today. I hope that tonight that this show really helped you in some particular way, shape, form, or fashion. But remember this. This is Mr. Motivator saying to you, success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. Folks, have a great week. Tune in and be with us again next week, the same time and the same place.
Yeah, that was good.